Sheldon. I'm just going to change his name from Scott.
Cannot. I'm sure, but I couldn't find the proposed order in my file. I had it on my computer. Can you ask Char to print one off?
I can run you a copy. Yep. Should we just take a minute? No, I can just take a minute and run this through the Xerox machine.
Yeah, that's fine. You can just... Give me a graph.
I'll give it.
Yeah, give me a graph. Something.
Love the smell of the mimeograph.
I was up in Minot the other day, and that basin wind turbine is still busted.
Is it?
Yeah, wow. I was surprised. I was like, I suppose I can't get in there because it's so stinking wet.
I see all the, I go by Rugby the other day, all the parts are on the
cranes
there. They just hadn't put them up yet.
The, what you call it, it's the base is still sitting there, a couple of the towers. Or the one tower.
Yeah, no, that big. Everything was there. And the crane just had been.
Bless you.
Yeah, I thought about you when I was in San Diego there, Brian. We stopped into the Walmart in, where was it? Oceanside, probably.
Yeah.
And they got like a whole section devoted to. Like marine mom.
Oh, I suppose. There's only about, I'd say, 100,000 Marines and sailors in that area.
Yeah, no, they knew their market. There was a whole Navy and Marine.
I tell you, of all the places we lived, I could move back to Carlsbad and Oceanside tomorrow.
Yeah, I can see why.
I wouldn't have a job, but other than that, I wouldn't want my kids to go to school there. But yeah, it was always nice. I mean, always. Like I said, a little fog in the morning sometimes when it'd be so dry inland, it would pull the moisture off the ocean. By about 10 o'clock, it always burn off. Traffic sucked. Because the 5 is, you know, they don't call it I, you know, like we call ours I-94, they call it the 5.
Everything is
the 5. The 15. And we're going to a Chargers game one time, we were like, didn't get it till halftime. And we left 2 hours early to go about 20 miles. It's not like North Dakota, you can just get off a road and like parallel down. There's one road.
Yeah, with a million people on. Okay, we will open the meeting, which is a work session on case number PU-11-57, the Elite Inc. Bison 2 Wind Project in Oliver and Morton Counties. This is the North Dakota Public Service Commission. We are broadcasting from the North Dakota Public Service Commission hearing room on the 12th floor of the state capitol in Bismarck. It is August 4th, 2011. And for anyone who may be listening in, this is Tony Clark. I'll allow my fellow commissioners to introduce themselves.
Kevin Kramer, good morning.
And Brian Koch, good morning as well.
We also have some representatives of staff and staff counsel, if they'd identify themselves as well.
Jerry Lynn with staff.
Mitch Armstrong, staff counsel.
Kelsey, you want to identify yourself for the record?
Kelsey Kropp, legal intern.
Okay, with that, we are just here to review a proposed order on the this siting case. It was a pretty straightforward one. We had a hearing up in Center a few weeks ago, and Jerry, Mitch, I don't know if you have any opening comments or if you just want to quickly walk us through the order or if we just want to raise any concerns or questions that we have. As I recall, there weren't a lot of outstanding issues in that particular case.
I can just kind of go through the order a little bit if that's what everybody'd like.
Sure.
All right, we'll just kind of just skip ahead a little bit. Page 1 was preliminaries, and page 2 is pretty routine. Page 3 is routine, too. It's describing the project. Basically, it's a 105-megawatt project with up to 35 3.0-megawatt turbines. And I'm into paragraph four, and so stop me if there's anything that anybody's questioning, but this is all pretty much routine. And in five, the only avoidance areas we had were wetlands, and they didn't require a 404 permit, Army Corps action or of any kind.
That was my only question that we did, talked about a little bit before, Jerry, is just changing those words around a little bit so it clarifies it just a little bit better why it's not required.
At least it wasn't until this last week. Who knows what
yeah.
the plans right. look like
now. But instead of saying there'll be negligible impact, say something to the fact that due to the size, it's not required. Because I think yeah. if you say negligible impact, you have to say, well, how did we determine it was negligible? If you just say it due to size, it was not required.
That I'll was see if I can get a little bit of an explanation paragraph into the, not in a paragraph, but a sentence, a couple words into that sentence to clarify it more. But
I think that was what it was.
I
just
think they were small and isolated was the.
I wonder if you can even, does it make sense, when, you know, because we have this outline where we put wetlands and, you know, we have the categories. Can you just, is it appropriate to reference a later portion where you do explain it more in more detail under wetlands?
I can go that way, too, because the only reason it's brought up here at all is just because we're into siting criteria and it's
right.
what the avoidance area is.
Right.
Later you elaborate on wetlands and wildlife, which has been our, you know, I'm just thinking out loud. You do want
it's kind of good to bring it up. Consistent. It's kind of good to deal with it a little bit when it's brought up there, too, though.
We want to be consistent.
That's just it, because if we're doing siting criteria, you talk about they testified there would be negligible impacts. We're already talking about their testimony in there. Just retool that.
I could put a sentence, or I could put a period right after impact to wetland, negligible impact to wetland resources, period. Not say anything further until we get into the part on wetlands.
That actually might be
that's
cleaner.
That's a clean way of doing it.
Yeah.
And then there's questions they can look later.
Well, that's just it, because you're right. I mean, if you start discussing it here, but you don't finish the discussion here, you
yeah.
leave people wondering.
Yep.
No, that's probably a real good way to do it.
Okay. If you recall, there were some small underground lignite reserves. They weren't big enough to be mined.
As far as we know,
uranium. For cultural resources, we did get the SHPO sign off already.
Good.
And then the next section is wetlands and wildlife. The whooping crane again is out there, and
have you ever seen one? How do you know?
No. So Minnesota Power is doing the programmatic habitat conservation plan. They're participating in that. In addition, they're contributing some habitat easement money or something like that, which we didn't go into in the order again.
No, stay out of that.
They're doing the rest of the stuff, too, that Fish and Wildlife wanted with some bird markers on other areas, avian bat protection plan. And we also talked about the wetland delineation again. And there we saw they're less than a half acre. Something's wrong with that sentence.
Where are you at again, Jerry? Page? Are you still in six?
Paragraph 32, page 6.
Yeah.
Okay.
It says if impacts the Clean Air Act jurisdictional water are unavoidable and less than one half acre, it must be more than Minnesota will seek project authorization under 404. I think there's something wrong with that less than. So I'll look into that.
Just reword it.
Further get mitigative measures. Morton County has setbacks. And looks like what we're doing is more stringent than the Morton County setbacks. Our 1.1 times the turbine height. And so in 33 and 34 discusses that.
I wonder if it gets confusing for someone if our ultimate criteria is going to be 1,400 feet, why do we even talk about 1,320? I understand it's Morton County's, but each wind turbine.
Just indicate they've met all county.
Yeah, something exactly. Exactly.
Who's supposed to be dialed in?
Oh, it's my fault. We were just going to. Did Jim call? Is he listening on the. Okay. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, we can dial him in.
All right.
This is why it's usually better to listen in on the internet to a work session because you can't participate.
Right.
Yeah.
How long does it take to get a shirt like that?
Huh?
That's 10 days.
Hey, is that a new one?
Well, I need one.
New to you guys.
I need one this afternoon.
It's one you just wear around the house?
It's been in my closet for a while. Broken down a couple times, but...
We're sorry, but we're unable to connect you to the conference. Goodbye.
You can't get me one by this afternoon.
That one?
That one.
You guys look like you found
but
it's large, tall.
Never mind.
They run big, so I fill it out.
How much that's a nice one. How much that one cost?
These are the 26. Well,
that's a little with this 26, that's not bad.
Those would be the $26 ones for us.
12 for him.
Welcome to Aiden. Might be better off to order in Morton County and Oliver County.
Is that why you push these things so hard? That I bet that is.
For every 10 he sells, he gets one.
He gets one. That's why he's got a...
Yes.
I have no comment.
No, I'm done here in another 18 months, so if I buy one, am I like allowed by law to wear it after?
You can put alumni or something on there.
Welcome to AT Conference.
That's a good idea.
Please
or
emeritus. Or
that.
Followed
right
by the pound sign.
Color bars. Alumni.
Past chairman.
Emeritus.
Someone has joined the conference.
We're in.
Good morning.
Hi. Jim, you're on?
Yeah, we're here.
My fault. Sorry, I forgot to call you.
That's all right.
Thanks, Jerry.
Mm-hmm. We covered all the controversial stuff in your absence.
Thanks.
Right, actually, we're... We've just been going page through page on it. There really have not been any major changes. Well, no major changes. A little bit of tweaking to the wetland section where we're just defining a little bit better why the wetlands don't qualify for a section 404.
Yeah.
And that was really... what we spent most of our time talking about. So we're now on page 7, the further mitigative measures.
And so we're at 33, and I think that what we just discussed was we will not go through Morton County's and say what Morton County's requirements are. We will just say that Minnesota Power meets them. So I'm going to delete
yep.
that middle part out of there.
Okay.
34 describes the setbacks that that Minnesota Power has proposed. And we're looking at 1.1 times the turbine height from existing transmission lines, public improved and maintained road right-of-ways, railroads and non-participant property boundaries. And there are no railroads in the area. The next sentence, or next number 35, was no turbines would be placed within 1,400 feet. And actually, the closest one is 1,425 feet. And from a non-participant, it's approximately 2,900 feet. The noise and shadow flicker studies. They had 50 dBs as what they weren't exceeding in the limit. There was some discussion of that at the hearing, and I changed that to 45. The testimony was that they didn't exceed 45, and I went back into the noise study and looked and didn't find anything.
Did you all read that?
I did.
That thing that I forwarded around?
Yeah, I sure did.
Those professors? I mean, it doesn't apply to this case, obviously. I can't. But it was an interesting...
Well, I just thought it made us look better than ever.
Yeah, I mean, we're pretty close to...
We are.
About where they're at.
Yeah.
And we just use common sense.
The only thing that might, in future cases, we might want to ask about, which kind of struck me in there, is this idea of delineating maximum levels at day and night, and they talked about that you know, it can be more of an issue at night for a whole bunch of reasons.
Right.
You might need to set a peak limit for nighttime hours, but anyway, it's. I thought it was interesting.
I thought it was very good, interesting.
Well,
yeah,
written. I mean, it was balanced,
and it wasn't overly eggheadish.
No,
you know, it was,
as they often can be.
Yes, they often can.
But I mean, you know, it actually had people from the fields you'd want.
Right.
Studying it, right? Audiology.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
I wondered about the day and the night thing, though. I mean, it's the same noise.
Oh, yeah, but there's a lot of other factors.
The effect on residents.
So if you're setting it...
Other background noise, generally speaking, during the day. But at night, if you've just kind of got a...
It'd be hard to set a different standard, though, for day and night.
Well, you have to set the strictest standard.
Or something, like,
yeah.
Right.
As you could turn on.
But, I mean, where we're at with R1 Farms, we're pretty much within...
Yep. I thought
zoning distance of where they're, what they're recommending.
Even a little more, I think we're a little more strict, actually.
Yeah. Now there's, it's a little easier to be.
Yeah.
Doing this in North Dakota where,
right,
you know, we've got 2 people per square mile in most of these areas as opposed to Michigan where they probably got 40, but be that as it may.
So... And I think that's pretty much it for that page.
I had a quick question for you, Jerry, on 38, I guess it's numbered now. Yeah. I know our standard language is they have legal obligation to decommission the wind energy. When do they have to file their plan? It's within 10 years, right, of when they start?
How 10 years is when the financial instrument has to be identified.
No, yeah, the decommissioning plan, I can't remember this.
Well, the only reason I bring it up
it should be filed right away.
Is that something that... A sentence says that what exactly that they should we expound upon the legal obligation, or is that just enough?
Well, they attest to fulfilling the rules that we've set forth. They attest to that. And
so it's probably better to leave it this way in case the rules would change down the road.
Well, Brian does bring up a point that we could have a requirement in here somewhere that they file a decommissioning plan within a certain, whatever the rules say on it. I mean,
well, I don't know. I just,
but they're
thinking down the road
under the rule.
Yeah. I think the rule speaks for itself.
Okay.
We'll have to talk about the decommissioning some point in time.
Well,
not just for this.
We're coming up on 10 years.
Exactly.
Of the first wind farm, so we should be expecting to rule on some financial instruments fairly soon for.
Right.
Well,
so but they're just.
You know, I think you have to take action, the way it is, to require the bond at 10 years if you want to. I mean,
Right. I mean, the commission.
If you have a reason to suspect they're going to need a bond.
Yeah, it's on our. I think it's on us. I agree.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, the other question is, are those ones that were built early on, are they grandfathered so that.
I thought we addressed that. I didn't think Attorney General.
They were required to file a decommissioning plan within a year after the rule took effect.
So just because they were operating at the time that the rule went into effect?
I think that's how it was worked.
Okay.
So, I think so too.
But that's something to look into.
Because the intention was to include every, including non-jurisdictional, citing jurisdictional.
Everything over 500 kW or something like that. That's the way it was written.
It's a good thing to put on staff's watch list, though, here.
Yeah.
Over the next.
Well, that's what got me thinking about it. Not so much this farm, it's just.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Okay. In paragraph 39, we had two different certifications filed in this case. One was the one that they had signed initially that had the 42-inch burial depth and some modification to the trees that they were willing to replace or inventory for replacement. And the other one was the standard one. And the one that's referred to in this order is the standard one. And in this paragraph 39 now, I have highlighted some discussion here that would exempt them from, well, it gives them what they wanted, which was a 42-inch burial depth. And they had, I've got an A and B paragraph here. Previously, in the standard one, in A under paragraph 2, it says that they would have to diameter, or they would have to inventory all trees. What they want to do is only inventory them 1-inch diameter or greater at breast height. And this is in windbreak areas, shelter breaks, belts. The other one, paragraph 3.
Thanks.
In native growth areas, under the standard thing, there's a requirement that they only count trees that are 1-inch diameter at breast height. They would like to not count them unless they are 3 inches at breast height. And so it's a deviation from what's in the standard.
I don't recall that line of discussion in the hearing at all. Did they talk about it?
I can provide
it. It was in there. Jim had some interesting... Yeah.
I can provide a little background on that, too, because what happened with Bison 1, they had these changes that they're requesting.
I remember the depth changes, but I don't remember the tree discussion.
The tree discussion was somewhat vague, I will grant you that, but it was discussed of why they wanted it that way, and it kind of came down to, you know, a tree when you look at it, and their theory was... A tree is 1-inch diameter at breast height. But
they're from Duluth, remember?
Yeah.
Okay, now I remember the discussion.
No, and so what they were requesting us to do is have this one be similar to the Bison 1 project, and that's how we got into kind of the two certifications and the reasons for the changes at the hearing.
Okay. When you get into a wooded area, you know, you've got an undergrowth of stuff that comes up. And so they're trying to figure out what's a tree that needs replacing and what's a sapling or something that's just in the undergrowth. And, you know, for me, the discussion almost goes to what, if you're going to change it here, should you just change it in everything?
Well, I think you almost have to.
Yeah. And so then it should just be what we're going to do going forward if that's what we're doing here.
Well, there, we also had a little discussion about landowner rights on the topic. I mean, the presumption that if it's on private land that the landowner wants any trees replaced is presumptuous.
And we get around that with our, the landowner is able to say they don't want it, and then they're required to plant them somewhere else.
Right.
NRCS or something.
Yeah.
Well, but for the purposes of this order, if we're comfortable with it, we can handle it this way. If we need to talk about revising the list of demands.
It can be separate discussions.
Can, yeah,
oh,
that for, can be
oh
separate
no
discussion.
Question, yeah.
It's just that one. Solve it today,
no, we don't.
What I do is, you know, staff take it under advisement, and then as you prepare the next, what do we call it? The affidavit or the
certification.
The certification. If you feel like it needs to be,
but it's right
advised,
in the tree mitigation.
Yeah, it's part of the tree mitigation that you're certifying okay. to. I don't have heartburn about changing it, but
so I don't either. But it is. It would be hard to deny the next request
right.
if we honor this one. And why wouldn't they all be this?
Well, it'll come real fast because we've got Bison 3 for hearing on September 15. And so we'll see it again, and we'll have a certification again in that one.
Oh, yeah. Well, certainly.
So if we wanted to change the certificate.
But you're saying we did do this for Bison 1.
Yeah, talking specifically for this order, it's, you know, we have, different than every other case, we kind of have a history with okay. this project of this type of provision being okay, and same with the depth. I mean, we commission's not aware of any safety issues with Bison 1 that came up with yeah. the change in depth.
Well, the electrical safety code is 36, I think.
That's the burial depth. That's yeah. what they said. You know, I'd have to see a quote on that 36 inches, too, because I've looked for it in that code before, and I found something in there that said something like it just deep enough to accommodate the expected surface usage.
Sure.
So.
Well, I'm fine with either with both of those.
Yeah.
But the 42-inch made sense to me. The OSHA requirement of shoring the thing up with plywood or making a bigger slope on the trench
right.
sounds expensive.
Actually, probably causes more disturbance to the surface area, too, than
yeah.
as a result.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm fine accepting this for now, and we can.
Okay.
And if it comes up in 3, that's fine too. I don't know that it's binding for other cases. If other companies begin asking about it, we can
okay.
look at the mitigation plan and the certification. But
okay, so
that's not critical to me.
No, me neither. I agree.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just thinking.
So with that, I think that kind of sums it up. Our ordering paragraphs are just standard. We're referring to the certification, so I deleted all of the proposed things that we had been doing before. And
yeah.
Yep.
You recall that there was a change to the project area at the hearing.
Yep.
So that's inserted. We had part of it deleted from the area.
Yeah, which is easy, yeah.
Taking out is much easier than putting.
Yes, away. Exactly.
And so I think that's it.
Okay. Anything else from staff or questions from the commission?
I would actually, I did put this on the agenda for the 10th. So
you did not, or you did?
I did.
You did. That's fine. I don't have any concerns
okay.
about it.
No.
Okay, so we'll have it on for next Wednesday for final action. Anything else?
Nothing for me.
All right.
No. Okay, thanks. Good work,
thank
everybody.
You.